This is Dan's Mega 65 Digest for March 2024. The Justified Ancients of Mu Mu.
This is Radio Freedom.
KLF is gonna rock ya.
There are two methods for making sound and music with the Mega 65, as it is currently implemented. The first method is the 4 SID chips, programmable devices that generate waveforms with requested parameters, using analog electronic components. We took a dive into the SID chips back in November 2022. How long have I been doing this? The Mega 65 can produce sound another way. Pulse code modulation, or PCM, describes a waveform as a sequence of values over time, literally the shape of the desired waveform as a series of high and low numbers, as if drawn on a graph. The computer feeds these numbers into a device called a digital analog converter, or DAC, that produces the waveform in that shape, as if rapidly changing the position of a speaker membrane according to each value. The Mega 65 has 4 DACs, and these waveforms are mixed with the rest of the audio system to produce the stereo audio output of the computer. With PCM, a computer can reproduce real-world sounds captured by a microphone, such as human speech or musical instruments. Today, we take this extremely for granted. Modern computers generate pretty much all sound using PCM waveforms. We used to call this digitized sound, in contrast with synthesized sound. Now we just call it sound. While PCM gives a computer program much more control over the generated sound, the trade-off is memory. Relative to the memory sizes of 1980s computers, PCM sound data takes a huge amount of space, depending on the length and quality of the sounds. In this issue, we'll look at how to control the Mega 65's DACs to play digitized sound, as well as techniques for wrangling sound data for use in your programs. As usual, we'll spend a bit too much time nerding out on theory and file formats. Are you ready? Here we go. Featured files. Bomb 'Em All by B. Toshi. An explosive action game for 2 to 4 players. Drop bombs, pick up items, and break through walls while trying to trap your opponents in the blast zone. The game supports the 4-Fun joystick adapter for 4 joysticks, or can be played with a mix of joystick and keyboard controls. Basic Star Galactica by Jim64, a space battle adventure. Destroy the Cylons and protect the fleet, and the future of humanity. Don't miss the downloadable printable disc label and manual. Frederick R. has prepared the 4th in his series of text adventure game bundles for the Mega 65, featuring modern classics from the interactive fiction community. This pack includes a variety of games released from 1995 to 2023, all playable on the Mega 65 thanks to the Osmu Z Machine player. See the digest from October 2022 for more on Osmu and Mega 65 adventure gaming. Another arcade core from Muse. In Ghosts and Goblins from 1985, you are brave knight Sir Arthur on a quest to save the Princess Prin-Prin. Don your armor, and take care not to lose it, while fighting waves of zombies, giants, demons, and other monsters. This classic from Capcom is considered one of the best video games of all time, and one of the most difficult. As with the other arcade cores, you will need to find the game ROM online and follow the instructions to install it. In Stranded, a graphical adventure game by Magnus Heidenborn, your boat has crashed and washed ashore a deserted island. Magnus wrote Stranded for the Commodore 64, specifically the modern VC64 clone. Gercha ported it to the Mega 65 and added original music. I especially appreciate the novel keyboard-based linear travel and exploration mechanic, which works around common issues with point-and-click adventure games. Check it out. Expansion board progress. Paul is making progress on the Mega 65 expansion board project. As we reviewed in a previous issue, this project intends to produce an internal hardware expansion that adds component video output, a Commodore user port, a tape port, and a port for the never-released 1565 external floppy drive that was originally intended for the Commodore 65. The goal is for these expansion boards to be made entirely out of printed circuit boards and common components with open-source designs, so anyone can order and assemble one from any PCB fabricator. The latest prototype includes a way to connect an ESP32 wireless internet module and routes a path for the optional JTAG adapter to a firmly mounted micro USB port accessible through the back of the computer. It also completes the 1565 disk drive port. Hopefully someday we'll be able to make a modern recreation 1565 drive with a plastic case that matches the Mega 65. KLF is gonna rock you. Let's listen to the first few notes of 3 AM Eternal by the KLF as performed by soul singer P.P. Arnold. This sounds very much as it would if P.P. Arnold were in the room singing it to us, but it isn't exactly. We're listening to a digitization of the original sound. The infinitesimal changes of air pressure experienced by the listener has been converted to a finite collection of finite numbers for transmission, storage, and playback over a loudspeaker. Converting an infinitesimally detailed waveform to a finite digital medium requires some trade-offs. How is this waveform represented as a collection of numbers? Sample rate. Pulse code modulation describes the height of a waveform measured periodically, or sampled, over time. We can't measure every infinitesimal point in time, so we have to choose a sample rate that says how often we take a sample. For audio, a typical sample rate is in the order of kilohertz, or thousands of times per second. A smooth curve on the original waveform is approximated by a stair-step pattern in the digitized waveform. We just heard KLF digitized at a sample rate of 44.1 kHz. Here it is again at 16 kHz. Not bad. Let's try 8 kHz. How about 4 kHz? The sample rate for digital audio is a lot like the screen resolution of a digital image. The actual image of an object, as seen by the eye, could have infinitesimal detail, but to capture it and represent it on a screen, it must be digitized into pixels. The smaller and closer together the pixels, the more detail can be captured and represented. You can think of sample rate as the horizontal resolution of the waveform. Bit depth. We can't measure the height of each waveform sample infinitesimally either, so this too needs a digital compromise. For example, we could store each sample as 8 bits, or 1 byte, of data. This would give us 256 possible values for the sample. If the measured sample is between two adjacent values, it gets rounded, or quantized, to the closest value. The number of storage bits per sample is the bit depth of the sample, or sample depth. You can think of bit depth as the vertical resolution of the waveform. The original KLF sample was digitized to 16-bit values. Here it is again at the original sample rate and bit depth. Here it is reduced to 8-bit, same sample rate. Modern sound software can't imagine I'd ever want to go lower than 8-bit, so I had to write my own program to push this further. Here is the sound using a 4-bit encoding, still at 44.1 kHz. Sample depth can also be understood by analogy with digital images. Each pixel of an image is stored with a digital value that represents its color. The number of possible colors it can use is limited by the bit depth of the color value. Naturally, the more colors the computer can use for a pixel, the more accurately it can represent the original image. Signed versus unsigned samples. Conceptually, An audio waveform is a variance in the regular air pressure of a silent room, wiggling positive and negative in a pattern until stabilizing back to zero. Based on this, waveform samples could be represented as a signed number with some negative numbers and some positive numbers around a baseline of zero. Or it could be represented as an unsigned number, where the baseline is the middle value of a range of positive numbers. Because the value range is the same, it doesn't affect the sound quality. Signed and unsigned are just two ways of representing the same data. A signed 16-bit sample has a range of negative 32,768 to positive 32,767. It is usually stored as a 2's complement value, where hexadecimal 8000 is negative 32,768, up to hexadecimal FFFF, which is negative 1, then hexadecimal 0000, which is just 0, up to hexadecimal 7FFF, which is 32,767. An unsigned 8-bit sample has a range of 0 to 255, where 128 is the baseline of the waveform. It is stored simply as its byte value. Hexadecimal 00 is 0, and hexadecimal FF is 255. If you're messing with sample data, you need to know both its bit depth and whether it is signed or unsigned to interpret it correctly. Size versus audio quality. Both sample rate and bit depth explain how the amount of data relates to the quality of the reproduction of the original sound. The faster we sample, the more samples we collect, and the more accurate the data is to the original sound. The higher the bit depth of the sample, the more memory is required for each sample, and the more accurate the sample is to the waveform. Before there were large hard drives, fast internet transmission speeds, and data compression algorithms tuned for audio, digital music could only be practically distributed on optical fixed storage compact discs, or CDs as we used to call them. We purchased these discs at retail establishments with names such as Tower Records, and ordered them from printed catalogs to be delivered to our home via postal service from Columbia House at an introductory cost of 10 discs for one penny. A typical audio CD stored 74 minutes of uncompressed stereo sound data using a sample rate of 44.1 kHz and a depth of 16 bits. We can calculate the amount of sample data on an audio CD with a simple multiplication. 74 minutes times 60 seconds per minute times 44,100 samples per second, times 2 bytes per sample, times 1 sample for each stereo channel, or that's 2, is a total of 783,216,000 bytes, or almost 747 megabytes. Old-timers might remember that a CD-ROM, which uses the same type of disk for storing computer files, has a capacity of 650 megabytes. CD-ROMs use the rest of the space for error correction and addressing, so computers can find files and make sure they read them correctly. When an audio CD player reads a sample incorrectly, it just pretends nothing happened and keeps going, so it can use more space for samples. For perspective, at CD quality, the Mega 65's 8 megabytes of attic RAM can contain 45 seconds of audio. As we'll soon see, we're actually limited to 64 kilobytes at a time, which would last us 0.35 seconds at 44.1 kilohertz and 16-bit. We'll need to make some trade-offs in quality and duration to make practical use of digitized sound. See the article for a table showing the maximum sound duration you can get out of 64 kilobytes of sample data at various sample rates and bit depths. For example, 64 kilobytes of 8-bit values at 4 kHz plays for 16.384 seconds. 64 kilobytes of 16-bit values at 16 kHz plays for 2.048 seconds. Mega 65 Audio DM Magic. Imagine we had a way to control the speaker membrane directly from our Mega 65 program using a hardware register. What would the program have to do to play back a short digitized sound? The program would write each PCM sample to the register, and it would have to do it at a consistent rate that matches the sample rate. If the sound was digitized at 8 kHz, this program would have to write sample data to the register 8,000 times per second at even intervals. This is entirely possible with a 40 MHz CPU, but getting the timing right would be a significant programming challenge, especially if the program does other things besides play the sound. Thankfully, the Mega 65 can help us with this. Reading a series of values from one memory location and writing them to another is the bread and butter of the Direct Memory Access, or DMA, chip, a purpose-built chip in the Commodore 65 that the development team called DMagic. DMA is typically used to copy one region of memory to another location very quickly, or fill a region with a value. Normally, it does this as quickly as possible. The Mega 65 has enhanced DMagic with a mechanism for playing audio samples to the DAC at a programmable sample rate, controlled with hardware registers. Your program can even do other things while the sample is playing. Playback happens concurrently with program execution. Because sample timing is managed for us by audio DMA, we don't need to worry about our program being fast or accurately timed. You can even use audio DMA from BASIC. Audio DMA specs and techniques. For audio DMA to work its DMagic, a few things must be true. The CPU must be running at 40 MHz. This is the default. Sample data must be in main memory, not attic RAM. Samples must use a bit depth of 16, 8, or 4. Values can be signed or unsigned. The playback region cannot exceed 64 kilobytes. At first glance, this seems a bit limiting, but it's actually quite powerful with a few tricks. For example, while sample data must be in the first 384 kilobytes of main memory during playback, your program can store its samples in the 8 megabytes of attic RAM, then use a DMA copy operation to install it in main memory to be played. 4-bit samples are stored in an interesting way. The DMA must advance through memory by at least 1 byte per sample, so 4-bit samples use either the top 4 bits or the bottom 4 bits of each byte, and you tell audio DMA which bits to use when you play the sound. This means you can have two 4-bit sounds stored in the same bytes, one in the top bits and another in the bottom bits. When you play a sound, you can tell DMA to stop at the end or loop back to the beginning automatically and continue playing. Looping is great for short repeating waveforms or long repeating patterns like drum beats or atmospheric sounds. With a bit of cleverness, you can play sample data larger than 64 kilobytes by taking advantage of the looping feature. Your program can copy new sample data into the memory region as the sound is being played, so when the playhead loops back to the beginning, it starts playing the new data. Your program specifies the sample rate to use to play the samples. If you want the samples to sound like the original recording, you play the samples at the rate they were digitized. You can also play the samples at a slower or faster rate to change the pitch and speed of the sample, like spinning a record player at a faster or slower speed. Records were another way to distribute music before CDs, as analog waveforms etched into grooves on vinyl discs. Sounds were reproduced mechanically by vibrating a needle, called a stylus, by running it across the etched groove at a steady speed. Because retro is cool, vinyl album sales have seen a rapid resurgence recently that is expected to grow in 2024, while sales of CDs have dropped in favor of online music streaming. A synthetic example. Before we figure out how to get recorded sound data into the Mega 65, let's try out the audio DMA system with some made-up numbers. We'll use BASIC here, but the procedure is the same in assembly language. We're just writing to memory and registers. Try porting this example to assembly language. The waveform. To start, let's draw a simple sawtooth waveform into some memory. This will just be the numbers 0 to 255 across 256 bytes of memory, which we will play looped. 10 space FOR space X equals 0 space TO space 255 colon poke space dollar 50000 plus X comma X colon next X. Channel registers. Each of the four audio DMA channels has 16 bytes of registers. Channel Zero's registers are at addresses hexadecimal D720 to D72F. Channel 1's are D730 to D73F. Channel 2's are at D740 to D74F. And Channel 3's are at D750 to D75F. I'll refer to each register by its offset, hexadecimal 0 through hexadecimal F. Just know that the registers have the same layout for all four channels. Switch off channel 0 while we're setting it up by writing a 0 to register 0. 20 space poke space dollar D720 comma 0. Enabling the audio DMA system. The audio DMA system must be enabled before it can be used. This is a global setting, address hexadecimal D711, bit 7. 30 space set bit space dollar D711 comma 7. Sample addresses. The starting address of the sample is a 24-bit value across registers 1 to 3. We also want to set the channel 0 playhead, a 24-bit value across registers A to C. Remember, these are all little endian. The starting address is used for looping. When the playhead reaches the end, it'll jump back to the start address. 40 space poke space dollar D721 comma dollar 00 colon poke space dollar D722 comma dollar 00 colon poke space dollar D723 comma dollar 05. 50 poke dollar D72A comma dollar 00 colon poke dollar D72B comma dollar 00 colon poke dollar D72C comma dollar 05. The end of the sample is stored as a 16-bit value equal to the lower 16 bits of the last address in registers 7 to 8. In our case, the end address is hexadecimal 50FF, so the register value is hexadecimal 00FF. 60 space poke dollar D727 comma dollar FF colon poke dollar D728 comma dollar 00. Channel volume. Each audio DMA channel gets two volume settings with the ability to pan the channel's output to the left DAC or the right DAC in different proportions. Channels 0 and 1 are considered left channels, and channels 2 and 3 are considered right channels. The 9 register in each channel's register bank sets the volume of the signal that it outputs to its device, either the left DAC or the right DAC. The register value is between 0 and 255, with 255 being the loudest. Another set of volume registers allow for each channel to also output to the opposing DAC. Registers D71C and D71D set the output of channels 0 and 1, respectively, to the right DAC. Registers D71E and D71F set the output of channels 2 and 3, respectively, to the left DAC. This can get a little confusing because the user can subsequently pan the left DAC or the right DAC using the audio and volume tool in the freezer, and can even flip the stereo field entirely. If you want to experiment with this, I recommend opening the freezer tool and setting the left digi volume up in the left output channel and all the way down in the right output channel, and the right digi volume down in the left and up in the right, so you can hear clearly through stereo speakers which DAC is being used. Let's just set channel 0 to output evenly to both DACs for now. The sawtooth volume can be a little annoying, so I recommend a low volume for this experiment. We're going to go with hexadecimal 22. So that's 70 space poke dollar D71C comma dollar 22 colon poke dollar D729 comma dollar 22. Headphone warning. If you're listening to your Mega 65 with headphones connected directly to the 3.5 millimeter jack, I recommend reducing the master volume in the audio and volume tool while you are testing digital audio samples. Incorrect sample data or erroneous register values could cause unexpectedly loud sounds. I prefer to use a set of speakers with an independent volume knob set to a low setting. Headphones tend not to have their own volume control. Sample rate. The sample rate, or frequency, is stored as a 24-bit value in registers 4 to 6. This one is a bit weird, but it'll make sense, I promise. The value is the 24-bit proportional value of the frequency relative to the CPU speed. For example, if the sample rate is 16 kHz, then the register value is 16 kHz divided by 40 MHz, a ratio, multiplied by 2 to the 24th power minus 1, which is the largest 24-bit value. Watch those units when doing the math. The CPU is much faster than the sample rate, so you should get a very small ratio. The following are the register values for some useful sample rates, pre-calculated for your convenience. 4 kHz is 1,662, or hexadecimal 00067E. 8 kHz is 3,324, or hexadecimal 000CFC. 16 kHz is 6,648, or hexadecimal 0019F8. 32 kHz is 13,296, or hexadecimal 0033F0. For our experiment, we actually want to do something special with the frequency. We have a very short sawtooth waveform capable of playing a musical note. The middle A key on a piano would play this pattern 440 times per second, or 440 hertz. We have 256 samples, so to achieve a middle A pitch, we need a sample rate of 440 times 256, which is 112,640 hertz, or 112.64 kHz. Proportional to the 40 MHz CPU speed, the 24-bit value is 47,244 decimal, or hexadecimal 00 Baker 88 Charlie. Someone check my math. 80 space poke dollar D724 comma dollar 8C colon poke dollar D725 comma dollar B8 colon poke dollar D726 comma dollar 00. Sample sign, bit depth, looping, and playback. Finally, we can trigger the sample with a few last settings in register 0. This register uses the following bits as flags. Bit 7 says to play it. Bit 6 says to loop it. We want this to loop our very short sawtooth wave. Bit 5, set this to 0 if the sample value is signed. We're using unsigned values in this example, so we set this to 1. Bits 1 and 0 are the bit depth. 1-1 is 16 bits. 1-0 is 8 bits, our choice. 0-1 are the upper 4 bits, and 0-0 are the lower 4 bits. 90, space, poke, dollar, D720, comma, dollar 80, plus dollar 40, plus dollar 20, plus dollar 02. To finish this program, let's wait for a key press, then silence the channel. 100, space, get key, space, a dollar sign. 110 space poke dollar D720 comma 0. Try it out. Run this to hear the tone. It's a bit obnoxious, so press a key to switch it off. If you accidentally press run stop with the sound still playing, use poke dollar D720 comma 0 to disable the sound. You can experiment with different waveforms by writing different values to 50000 to 500FF. I included some code suggestions in the article. Converting audio files to raw PCM data. This little experiment to play triangle, sawtooth, and sine waveforms is fun, but not particularly impressive considering that the SID chips can already generate these waveforms on their own. To unleash the true power of audio DMA, we need PCM sample data for more interesting sounds. The Mega 65 does not have a built-in audio digitizer, at least not yet, so we must turn to our trusty modern computers. There are many ways to record, produce, or otherwise acquire sound files with a modern computer and an internet connection. Your computer's operating system probably includes a free sound recording or editing program, and so does your mobile phone. Sound editing software like Audacity is free, and you can also download free sound files from freesound.org. Whatever software you're using, be sure to edit your sound file to trim it to just the length you want your Mega 65 program to play. Audacity. Our goal is to convert the sound file to raw PCM sample data at an appropriate sample rate, and at a bit depth supported by the Mega 65 Audio DMA. Audacity can do all of this in a single export step. Go to the File menu and select Export Audio. Under Format, select Other Uncompressed Files. Under Channels, select Mono. For sample rate, you can set 8,000 Hz or higher, or select Other and enter any rate in Hz. For Header, select Raw, Headerless. For encoding, select either signed 16-bit PCM or unsigned 8-bit PCM. Then click the Export button. Remember that sample rate and bit depth affect data size and sound quality, so choose wisely. Other modern sound production software may not have all of the same export options. Some of the more expensive software packages on my computer can't believe I would ever want to export at a sample rate lower than 44.1 kHz. If your software doesn't export raw PCM sample data, or doesn't offer the desired sample rate or bit depth, export a WAV file with high-quality settings. Then use Audacity for the final conversion to raw PCM data with the desired parameters. It's important to use the highest quality settings for every processing step until the last one. Because each digital audio file is an approximation of the original waveform, the conversion tool has to use some math to assume the gaps between the samples when converting from one sample rate to another. The more data that goes into that process, the better. While preparing this digest, I had occasional issues with Audacity trying to boost the volume of my samples, causing clipping of the signal in some cases that added loud pops to the final sound effect. Notably, this clipping only happened on real hardware and not in XEMU, so be sure to test your samples. I also had some luck using Audacity to just lower the volume of the sample just before export. FFmpeg. Audacity is fine, but I like command line tools so I can automate build workflows. The tool for this is FFmpeg, an essential free media conversion tool for video and audio. It's similar to how we used ImageMagick to convert still images back in a previous digest. FFmpeg is available for all platforms. On a Mac using Homebrew, install this with brew space install space FFmpeg. FFmpeg accepts most audio files as input, including WAV files. Specify the input file with the -i parameter. It'll detect everything it needs to know about the input data from the file itself. For the output file, we want something special, so we need to tell it what we want. The -f option selects the bitrate. The most useful values in our case is as follows: S16LE for signed 16-bit little endian, U16LE for unsigned 16-bit little endian, U8 for unsigned 8-bit. To convert the file to a different sample rate, use the -AR option and provide the value in Hz. To convert a stereo sound to monophonic, specify -AC1. You now have a raw PCM data file. Assuming it's small enough, you can now copy this to a D81 disk image and transfer the disk image to your Mega 65. See a previous digest for more information on how to manage files and disk images. Playing the digitized sound. The basic program above can be modified to play an arbitrary sample file. Replace line 10 with a bload command that loads your sample file to address hexadecimal 50000. 10 space bload space quote the file name close quote comma p open parentheses dollar 005000 close parentheses. You will need to adjust the sample length, line 60, and the sample rate, line 80, as appropriate for your data. You might want to remove the loop flag, $40, from the playback command on line 90. Only include the unsigned flag, $20, on line 90, if the sample data is unsigned. Can you hear the sound, but it's noisy or crackling? Double-check the unsigned bit. Using the unsigned bit when the sample data is signed, and vice versa, will cause transitions from negative to positive values to pop in a bad way. What about 4-bit sample data? None of the audio processing programs I tried offer export of 4-bit samples. How can we make 4-bit samples to take advantage of this feature of Audio DMA? Compared to something as complex as resampling at different sample rates, converting from an unsigned 8-bit sample to an unsigned 4-bit sample is quite easy. We just lop off the lower 4 bits, equivalent to dividing by 16. See the article for a simple Python program that does this. Take care to read and write files in binary mode, and to use integer division with the double slash operator. I assume you're using Python 3. This produces a new file containing 4-bit samples, with one sample per byte and the sample data in the lower 4 bits. We can modify our playback program to use this by setting the appropriate flags in the 0 register. 90 space poke $D720, $80 plus $20. Audio DMA requires that each sample be at a separate memory location, so merely converting a sample from 8-bit to 4-bit doesn't actually save any space. The space savings comes from storing two 4-bit samples on top of each other, and telling Audio DMA to play either the bottom 4 bits or the top 4 bits. We can modify this Python script to store two samples together in this way. See the article once again for a complete listing. Proper handling of byte data in Python can be tricky. In this code sample, watch for the use of the asterisk as a repetition operator, and notice the casting of byte values to integers for the division, and the conversion of an integer array back to a bytes array for output. This script produces a file containing two samples in the same memory range, one encoded with 4-bit samples in the lower 4 bits, and the other encoded with 4-bit samples in the upper 4 bits. The input files must be 8-bit unsigned sample data, and the output file also uses unsigned samples. To tell the playback program which sample to play, set bits 1 and 0 of D720 accordingly. To play the lower sample, 90 space poke $D720, $80 plus $20. To play the upper sample, 90 space poke $D720, $80 plus $20 plus $01. I have a vivid memory of hearing the KLF's 3 AM Eternal played on my childhood Amiga 500. Like the Mega 65, the Amiga can play short digitized sounds over 4 audio DACs. Most Amiga owners didn't have enough memory to store several minutes of digitized sound, so another kind of music was born. A mod file encodes music as short digitized sounds played in a pattern of frequencies and timings, saving memory by reusing samples throughout the song. The KLF's music was largely sample-based and repetitive to begin with, and they even produced some of it on home computers like the Apple II and Atari ST. Mod files can come close to reproducing the original songs within the memory limitations of a vintage computer. Your Mega 65 includes a mod player on the intro disc called Manch that uses Audio DMA to play sound samples. I found one person's attempt at a mod of 3 AM Eternal and was able to play it in Manch on my Mega 65. I can't say this particular mod is my favorite remix, but it's been fun to revive this memory. See the article for links to download a few mod arrangements of KLF songs for you to enjoy. Manch reads mod files directly off the SD card, so put these in the root of your SD card. Then start Intro Disc 1, open the Music menu, select Manch, and press Return to run the program. Within Manch, press F1, type one of the file names, then press Return to load the file. press space to start playback. I also made a demonstration disc with the waveform generator program from this issue, as well as a program demonstrating the same sound at different sample rates and bit depths. Check the article again for the download link. This digest is made possible with support from Justified Ancients like you. To contribute, visit ko-fi.com/DDDAAANNN. See you next month. For more, visit m65digest.substack.com.